fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we have here with us again today my good friend and mentor, Ralph Martin. He's been with us all week. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net, and you can listen to the programs right there. They're archived. Listen to them on your computer, download them, listen to them on your iPod while you're there. Browse the website. There's a lot of wonderful stuff there for you, including Ralph Martin's book, The Urgency of the New Evangelization, Answering the Call, which really is a very concise and helpful write-up of the very themes we've been discussing all week long. So if you caught just a little bit of the program and you want to know more about it, go to the website and order that book, The Urgency of the New Evangelization. And also my book at St. Francis Used Words is also very helpful, because we've been using St. Francis as a point of departure this week to see what a heart really set on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, really what the heart of Jesus looks like in many ways. And like all the saints, they're models for us. They've grown in holiness. We can see what holiness looks like, where Jesus is taking every single one of us and what Jesus can do in us if we just keep saying yes to him. The way our minds can be cleansed and our hearts can be set free and the darkness that's in our mind, and we can live with the love of Christ and the passion for the kingdom of God and zeal for souls that characterizes really all the saints, because that's what characterized Jesus and the life of the apostles. So welcome back, Ralph.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Good to be back, and good to be preaching the gospel with you.
Yeah, two things I promised yesterday as we were closing the program I want to touch on today was we began to talk at the end of the program about who would ever choose. There's probably no one in hell, because no one directly chooses hell.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that for their life, right? So, and God's so loving and merciful, we touched on that a little bit already. The combination of those two things is the reason there's probably nobody in hell.
Yeah. Well, how do we know what the truth is about anything? We know it through our reason, but reason only takes us to a certain point. And about these things, like heaven and hell, how do we know about them? We only know what we've been told by the one who knows God. And so we know that hell exists. We know it's very possible for people to go there. We even know that there's lots of descriptions of what hell is like, and we know there's lots of descriptions of who goes there and why they go there. So none of us see perfectly clearly now either the true nature of evil and sin or the true nature of blessedness and virtue. None of us can see it totally clearly, but we see it clearly enough to be responsible for making a decision. So God honors the decision we make, like it says in Romans chapter 1. They're without excuse. They knew God, but they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. So there's this culpability there. So you might say, well, people didn't fully know what the consequences of that was going to be. They knew they were making an evil choice. They knew they were making a rejection of God, and there was consequences that came from it. So I think what the best thing we can say is that Scripture says is that people know enough to make a free and informed decision about whether they're going to choose for or against God. And there's things that's going to flow from that that aren't clearly seen, both good and bad, but that there's real culpability, there's real freedom, there's real decision. Now, that being said, it is so merciful that God says what he says in Scripture here. Like in Matthew chapter 13, he talks about how the angels are going to go out at the end of the world. He told them the parable of the weeds and the wheat, and he's going to separate the weeds and the wheat. Right now, they're all mixed together. But they're going to separate the weeds and the wheat, and the weeds are going to be thrown into the fire, and the wheat's going to be brought into the Father's house, you know. Or we read the same in Matthew 13 about the good fish and bad fish are going to be caught, and the angels are going to separate them, and the bad fish are going to be thrown out, and the good fish are going to be kept. We see Jesus talking about, when he's talking to Pharisees, that your father is the devil. They were shocked to hear that. They said, of course the father isn't our devil. Our father is Abraham. Jesus says, as a matter of fact, you perverted and distorted in a self-righteous, smug way the true revelation of God. And you've been led into that by a deception of the evil one. You have believed his lies about what religion is really about, and you're culpable for that. So lots of people today have actually made themselves children of the devil, and they'd be totally shocked to hear it, just like the Pharisees were shocked to have Jesus tell them that, because they have placed themselves under the teaching of the evil one. Jesus says in John's Gospel chapter 8, the devil is the father of lies and a murderer. He works by getting people to believe false things about God, false things about morality, false things about themselves, false things about heaven and hell. And when people believe those false things, they come under the spiritual power of the evil one. And so salvation is rescuing them from the objective lies they believe, but also the spiritual power that they've come under and the culture that they've cast their lot with. And so the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent bear it away. The violence of conversion and repentance, the violence of saying no to sin and yes to God, the violence of repenting of unbelief. So there's a mystery here, Peter, and everything can't be spelled out in its last detail. But what Scripture tells us is the most essential thing for us to know, that we are given a realm of freedom, and we are going to be accountable for our fundamental choice for or against God. And we can't separate that fundamental choice from specific choices that regard specific actions in our life.
Yes, no, that's well said. The passage we touched on, John chapter 3, where Jesus says that this very striking line, the light came into the world, but men prefer darkness to light.
That's their choice.
Right. And I was thinking a time in my own life. I mean, I was raised in a Catholic home. And if you'd asked me at 18 or 17 or whatever, if I was Catholic, I would have said yes. But I was willfully ignorant about a lot of stuff because I didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to pay attention to it. I didn't even, it's not like I had a daily decision, I'm not going to listen to what the Bible teaches. I just was interested in so many other things that a good chunk of which fall under the category of darkness.
Yeah.
And I liked those things and I wanted those things and I didn't want to pay attention to God.
At some level of your being, you were making a choice, even though it didn't come to such an explicit point of consciousness. Still, in the deep level of your being, you were saying yes to a dark thing.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I didn't want to get near that light.
Yeah, you knew where it was.
Because
it was
going to expose me.
Say.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And occasionally I'd throw up a prayer, I'd throw the Lord a bone, but I mainly wanted to live in the world I wanted to live in. And I wanted to behave the way I wanted to behave.
Right.
And I wanted to think the way I wanted to think, as opposed to, again, accepting his diagnosis of the true condition of my life. I mean, he's throwing me a life preserver. Yeah. I'm thrown overboard in the middle of the Pacific in a huge storm in the freezing cold water. I'm going to die. And he throws me a life preserver. And I'm saying, I don't really want that.
Right.
You know, could I try something else? I don't really want that. And that's the condition that we're in and how we often relate to it.
And it ties back to what you're saying about people kind of like not being culpable for their actions or never choosing hell. People are making choices that place them on a path that they're responsible for getting
on. We are responsible. And just because we don't want to look clearly at the responsibility, the consequences of our decisions or what those decisions really entail and what they mean, just because we don't want to go there doesn't mean we're not going to experience the consequences of those decisions.
And rightfully.
Right, and rightfully so,
That's why what you talked about previously about the hard sayings of Jesus, the negative saying of Jesus, are the most loving things that Jesus tells us.
They're wake-up calls,
big time. He's saying, I don't want you to end up here, so please pay attention to what I'm saying, and please believe what I'm saying, and please do what I'm saying, because I want you to be with me forever in the most indescribable happiness you ever could imagine.
Yeah. I mean, and one way to help us overcome this dullness of mind is to spend time before the crucifix of our Lord, you know, and just look at him and say, what happened? Why did you die? Why did this happen, Lord? What does this have to do with me?
Yeah.
It's so urgent. It is so overwhelmingly important that the Son of God entered human history and bled and died on a cross to put away the sin that's killing us.
For me. He did that
for
me.
For me.
Right. He did that for me.
Because he knows sin is killing me.
Yeah.
And I'm destined for this separation from God. This is the biggest deal there is.
Yeah.
And paying attention to his message, the word that is his life, his teaching, and especially from the cross and resurrection, there's a word about us, about God the Father, about our condition, about the antidote for the situation that we're in. And Jesus gave it all. That's how important it is for us to be able to get this.
If you hear his word today, harden not your hearts. Pete, we're speaking his word. We're poor instruments, we're poor servants, but we are speaking his word. And I'd like to say to all who are listening today, if you hear his word today, harden not your hearts. Humble yourself and put yourself under the word of God. Accept it, even though you don't completely understand it. Start living according to it, and you'll understand it more, and you'll experience greater and greater freedom.
Ralph, we've got about 4 minutes left, and you know, if someone's listening and they're asking you, okay, you know, I haven't been paying attention. I was baptized as a kid. I'm just running on my own, or I've never even been baptized. What do I do? How can I be saved? What should I do?
People can right now begin the process by right now in their car, right now wherever they are, talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been a sinner. Forgive my sins. I haven't understood who you are. I don't completely understand now, but I want to open my life to you. I want to receive your mercy. I want to receive your forgiveness. I want to change my life. Help me to know the steps I need to take. Begin praying. Begin reading the scripture. Get connected with other people who are trying to live as disciples of Christ, and the journey will begin. As Catholics, we have so many resources, you know, and if you've never explored the Catholic Church, you explore it. There's the sacraments, there's the Eucharist, there's the sacrament of reconciliation. If you have been committing serious sin and you are a Catholic, consider going to the sacrament of reconciliation. It's really important. It could really be a turning point for you. Consider making a lifetime confession, as they say, or a general confession. Find a priest, make an appointment. They won't be shocked by what you tell them. They won't be turned off. They'll be so glad. Remember what Scripture says, there's such joy in heaven when one sinner repents. What a happy day it will be when the angels celebrate. If anybody's listening who's living in sin today, if you hear his heart, harden not your hearts. Begin right now by talking to the Lord, confessing your sins to him. And then if you're a Catholic, get to confession and start the journey.
Yeah, and it's just thinking when that grace of God begins to come and we open our hearts, the Lord, God the Father, allows us to see the beauty and the majesty of Jesus, the pearl of great price. Yeah. And it's not just the negative walking away from something. It's running toward beauty. It's running toward the King. It's running toward love. It's running toward ultimate freedom. It's
the
running
prodigal
toward
son being welcomed back.
That's really what it is. And there's nothing more precious and more beautiful than Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And sometimes people say, well, don't talk about these things because it's negative. It makes people feel bad about themselves, or it just turns people away or something like that. And we have to be confronted by the truth of the true condition. Jesus is the true physician, and he's come and he's diagnosed us perfectly. He knows us right at the core of our being, and he's the answer to the sickness that's deep in our hearts. And he doesn't come condemning. He's not going to condemn us. We'll condemn ourselves by saying no to him.
Right.
By saying, not now, not now, not now. I'm not interested right now.
Right.
And see how blind we are to put it off, to run after secondary things, things that actually harm us greatly or just
never
don't even
satisfy us.
They just don't. They don't
satisfy us. They'll crumble in our hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
As somebody once said, if you don't know what the bad news about our problem is, our sin, the good news doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know,
that's
if you don't know the
true
bad news, the good news is no news.
Right. And, you know, I long for the day Pope Francis talks about, he dreams of a new missionary moment for the life of the church. And that is that Catholics everywhere would be talking to people on street corners, you know,
informal
on bus rides and informal conversations about the love of God
praying
poured out
with
in
people
Christ
after
Jesus.
We talk with them. Yeah.
Why is it so much important that I love Jesus? So why can't I just, I'll just love Buddha or I'll love this one? No, it's important to love Jesus Christ because he's the one who died on a cross. He's the only Son of God who came to the world. He died on a cross. He shed his blood to cleanse us of sin that's destroying our life, purify us, to make it possible for us to come into the presence of the Father and to become sons and daughters of God.
Beautiful, amazing, an incredible gift that he's even would deign to offer that to us.
It's worth giving everything we have for
this. Yes, it's a pearl of great price. It's the treasure in the field.
Thanks so much, Ralph, for being with us this week. It's really been a lot of fun. And friends, this truth is for you. Open your hearts and receive it and go in his love. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.